if you're gonna start recording because your tits are going off.
No, not my tits, my tics.
Look, if your tits want to go off, I'm not gonna be mad about it.
they don't. They like hiding.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 4 of Adulting on Hard Mode. I'm your host, Tanya, and...
I'm Carrie. I have a dragon in my hand, so I'm distracted.
And we're on episode 4. I can't believe we've made it to 4 episodes. This feels...
Wow.
It feels like a lot.
It feels like longer than 4 episodes for sure.
Bing. Yeah. So our goal with every 4th episode is to kind of give a recap of like the simple apps we've been using and our incomes and how we've been doing for the month.
Wow.
So we'll kind of start with that. The apps that we were really, really focusing on using this month were Branded and Adipole, the survey sites. Mm-hmm. We had very different experiences because we actually have different backgrounds in terms of what.
Demographics.
That is the perfect word because it's the correct one.
Yeah. With demographics, basically we're in the same age group and that's it. And so everything else has been different.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I did double check on the app as of this morning on Branded. I had made $10.26. So honestly, that was better than I expected with how little I put into it, because I kind of got discouraged and then I'd be encouraged, and I feel like there's so many that you would start and then they would tell you you don't qualify for it, and I always got just like discouraged a lot after that. And there were so many that like I would click on it and it would say survey's full. I've even had a couple that I did the survey and it never registered that I did it, like it didn't count it for me.
I had a similar experience, but I ended up making more money. So on Branded surveys, I made about $35 by the end, like as of today, because I
really did good.
I pushed some out like this morning. I was like, I haven't done any surveys in like 2 weeks. So let's do this like homework. Like let's pretend like we procrastinated on homework and it's due at midnight. And so I was just like, click, 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 click. So I got like $35 on Branded surveys. And then I got like $25 on Adipole.
And I have $2.34 on Adipole.
My thing with Adipole was I would try to do it when I was already so distracted or done with the day. So I never completed the surveys. I had plenty of opportunities. I would just start it and exit out of it because I just didn't want to do it. I'm in finals week right now for school. So
yeah. And that's fair. And I mean, that was part of it for me. I think Adipole, we had started partway through this journey with, at least for me, with Adipole, and I just didn't enjoy it as much. I feel like the surveys were so much longer. I feel like I was disqualified a lot more, and I also didn't know what all the colors meant. I was just kind of clicking. I did find a resource that says what each color means, and I'm going to try to type it up and put it on the YouTube page and maybe our website. So the black surveys are just a regular survey. Red surveys are profile surveys. Orange surveys are from Polefish, which after you've done one, you know exactly what those Polefish surveys are. Purple is usually it's like a recontact or a follow-up survey. And blue ones are, you're going to install an app to get that money.
Okay.
And I think, I also noticed that like each app has like a star rating next to it. And I don't know how to rate them myself yet, but I have noticed that I was frustrated with the ones that were lower stars. So my suggestions also like don't like avoid those 1-star ones, because I would grab them because it'd be, you know, low time, high money, get partway through, not have any money, not finish it, not something. So,
you know, I got one of those, and that is how I made quite a bit of money on that survey. But there was one of them that was a low rating, high paying survey, and it asked me for my kid to do the survey, and I was, and that's why it was so low rating, because nobody qualifies for it, because it asks if you have kids, asks how old they are, and then asks if they'll do the survey, and then asks all the questions in the survey. And I was like, no.
No. Right? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't do it. I exited out of it because I was like, no, he's not going to do that. Like,
if anything, I'm very aware that
go for it.
Not having kids disqualified me a lot.
Yeah, having kids qualified me, and living in a rural area qualified me for a lot of surveys.
Yeah, and see, I am a white woman with no kids living in a city, so they have enough of my demographics, because a lot of the people who are doing these surveys tend to be people, you know, college kids, things like that, looking for the quick money on the side.
Yeah.
I would still absolutely tell people, like, do I think it's worth it? Like, kind of. You know, if we don't have anything else going on and you're zoning out for the day watching TV and you're not super interested, absolutely, I would go on to Branded or Addipal and do these surveys.
I would. It, for me, it's easy side money, which is what it, I mean, side hustle. So, like, yeah, this exactly. month, for the rest of March, I'm focusing on making enough money to buy my son a DVD set that he wants. You know, like, well, stuff
and
like that.
Well, just from doing those surveys, you made over $50. You made,
yeah.
You said it was 25 and 35, so yeah. $60. You made,
yeah, about
$60.
Yeah, that's pretty good for me
for surveys. Yeah, that's really. I mean, that's really good. I think.
Yeah.
My mind just hasn't been there for the surveys either.
It hasn't. But for me, when I put it in that perspective of I wasn't bringing in zero income. So I went from zero income to 60. That's better for me and my household. That's better than what I was doing. It's better than nothing. Yeah.
In terms of other incomes, because this has not been the only thing that has just been the main thing that we've been doing.
Yeah.
Wrote everything down that I did this month. So this month I did manage to make $510.60.
Woo!
But 420 of that was from donating plasma.
Oh, girl. I was from, like, I did not make that much.
Yeah. 420 of that was just from donating plasma. And so, like, I know people are, like, discouraged and don't want to donate plasma and everything like that. For me, it was a means to have a little bit more income for this month while I'm getting everything else started. I don't intend to do this
long term.
Probably past March. I can already see things changing. Like, I've noticed my blood pressure going down, and I've had to decrease my beta blocker from it, which then I start to have more POTS syndrome. So I play a little bit of a balancing game here, so I don't see myself doing this in April.
Yeah, it's good
but
to give your
you have to still, like, pay attention to your body, and at the end of the day I still have these chronic illnesses that my body isn't gonna, you know, just stop paying attention to. And then on top of just the POTS, I have had the gastric surgery, so it's harder sometimes for you to get the nutrition and stuff that you need to keep balancing out when you're making plasma. And so the last time I had only done it for 2 or 3 months also, because that's about as long as my body can take it per year, 2 or 3 months. But it brings in enough money when you want some extra money.
Yeah, I wish I could do it. I can't.
Yeah, because you had some protein issue though, right?
Yeah, well, the one time back in like 2008 when I tried to donate plasma, my protein was too high and I never went back. So I just assumed I can't, because if it was low then, or if it was high then, it's high now. Nothing's changed health wise.
maybe. But, like, I don't know that you meet a lot of the qualifications for it. It would depend on medications that you've been on in the past, because they have some medications that will disqualify you. Probably with all of your medical problems, I can't imagine telling them you have seizures. They'd be like, yeah, let's hook you up.
Oh, God.
Because they don't have, you know, it's just basic people learning to stick you. But
yeah, like, yeah, let's do that.
Let's hook you up. Yeah. It'll be great. It'll be fine. You just pass out and have seizures. It's fine. Just keep pumping your fist.
Mm-hmm. Well, so your main source of income has been donating plasma. How much did you make on all the other side
so stuff? The branded was $10.26. Okay. Adipal was $2.34. So I don't even know that I can cash that out yet.
Okay.
I had done one secret shopping thing. I found the app was called Secret Shopper app. The only thing available on it was the local furniture store. The only thing that's still available on it currently is the local furniture store. So that was kind of a one secret shopping thing and done from that app at least. But I made $23. I did user interviews. I had the one I qualified for immediately, which was just clicking through like an app, and we got $5 for that. And then also I actually just did one that paid out $20. It was also just from home in your own time, and you recorded your answers. And so a lot of those things, I know you've been nervous because it says like, oh, we want to record you in your home, but it's more they want to just have you do like a blog, or they do like an interview with you.
Yeah, I saw some of those. I applied to some of those, yeah. But the one that I was talking about specifically said like, we're going to be like, we have to film you in your house for 7 days doing your daily activities with, and I was like,
no. Yeah, this one was, it was about your like shopping experiences.
Yeah.
And so I had to record, I think, 4 short 30-second to 1-minute videos.
Mom, and then my butt.
20 bucks. I know. She's so sweet. And she's in here alone most of the time because of the ringworm. So when I'm in here with this, she's very, very affectionate. And then probably the biggest side app hustle that I did was the Kale app. I made $35 off of the Kale app and just posting those videos.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
I do recommend it.
Yeah, I do too. I did it. I'm waiting for a package that's at the mailbox to be delivered, and then I'll do another one tonight. Well, that's good. I didn't make fucking $500.
$400 was plasma.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, hey, plasma. And you know what? I did look up my Kindle Direct publishing. Mm-hmm. Because I have the cookbook out there, but I haven't started advertising it yet.
Yeah.
I made 32 cents.
Woo! That was me. I liked that book. That's cool. Well, I did I didn't make that much money, but so my other side hustle avenues have been my Shopify store. Which is connected to a TikTok shop, a Pinterest. It has its own website. It's connected to a couple of apps, so it can get like revenue in different avenues. Okay. And I've made a bunch of sales on that. I've made like almost $100 just from TikTok shop being open for like 3 days. And it's always,
I was gonna say, that's not shabby.
Yeah. Like, and it's,
you've been on it for like not even a week.
Yeah. And what's funny is it's my cheapest products that are being sold like hotcakes, and it's like Hello Kitty stuff. So, I just sell it. And I mean, if people want to keep buying it, I'll keep selling it. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And then then I've also been doing the Kale app. I made, I think, $20 off my video. And I had to repost that video because I did it wrong the first time. So that was after the second video was posted, on Kale. And then I made the like almost 60 bucks on surveys, mm-hmm. and zero money from KDP so far, but I got my mock-up yesterday and it looks really cool. Like the planner.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I saw you posted that video. And it looked really good. I'm excited for you. I think it looks great.
Yeah, I need to reformat it like on, I think, like 2 pages. Like, it's cut off just a little bit. It's enough for me to go, I wouldn't buy this. I would be mad. So I'm going to fix that. Yeah. But before I link
That's exactly been my problem. Why I have been recording videos of me cooking. I have them ready to edit. Uh-huh. I have not posted them, and I'm putting a pause because I want that book to look
good.
And yeah. I do plan on editing it while we cook, but I want it to look good initially so people, you know, are interested.
Yeah. Well, I looked through your book and, I mean, it has some really good recipes in there. Like, I have some recipes flagged in it so that I can try them at home. Actually, I think I got most of the stuff, for
this. So far, everything I've made has been delicious and fast.
So I flagged the first one I'm going to try from your book is the spinach and artichoke chicken.
Okay.
And so it just sounded so good. I think I'm going to add jalapenos in it, though, but because I like a spice. But yeah, I'm going to make it this weekend. I'm excited.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll try to make it so I can get the video out there also. At least before this podcast release, we'll get it out there. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, my hip just popped out of place.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Other things, our next two apps that we're going to be doing are, we've chosen Swagbucks, which has games you can play for money, as well as doing surveys, and we're going to kind of see how that plays out, as well as QMe. And I think that's the same. It has games and surveys, so we wanted to kind of, we like doing comparable apps, so since we did surveys, these ones have games and surveys. We can see what's going on, how we feel about these ones as well. And then I know we've both been working on KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. Carrie has her stores going. My big goal was to get a store going this next month and have like a good flowing store.
Yeah, she's more, I'm on... quantity, not quality, and she's more quality, not quantity. So her store isn't up yet. I rushed it, and now I'm tweaking my store as I go. So just different mindsets, basically. But I'm excited. It makes me stressed, though. Every time I get an order, I get excited, and then I get stressed because I'm like, I'm responsible for this. I have to make sure it gets finished. And that's the part, like, I wake up every morning and I'm like, okay, I have to fix this real quick.
Well, and so I've seen, and that's kind of something where I'm not sure, I haven't pulled the trigger because I haven't decided which venue I want to use yet. Because there's, like, pros and cons to using the different ones. And mm-hmm. I kind of want to stick with just Printify. And maybe you have a pop-up store there and use Etsy because they do all the shipping. They do all the returns. They handle all of the problems. Printify does. Mm-hmm. When you have the Shopify account, the thing that I saw was you have to approve of the orders, which you can mass produce them. I saw some automation thing. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of in charge and you have to pay for the Shopify store. But with Printify, if I'm listing on, I can list it on Shopify and I can list it on Etsy, but I have to pay for Etsy and you have to pay for Shopify. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixed bag of nuts. I think that at the end of the day, though, I mean, like, you've made $100 on your Shopify in a few days, and the intro right now, at least for Shopify, is free for a week and then $1 a month for like 3 months. And then I think it's like $30 a month. So it really gives you time to get generating the revenue and make it worth it.
Yeah, it does. It's with the stipulation. I mean, not the stipulation, but like the caveat of like, usually by the time you get past the $1 3 month mark, you should have enough income coming in that the $30 a month isn't like your shop is paying for itself, basically. So, yeah. I mean, and thankfully I'm there, like my shop, I can pay for another month or I could switch. I have a Printify shop. I just I use Printify and Printful. And so I forget because I like the products on Printful more than I like the products on Printify. but I like some of the printing options on Printify that I like on Printful. So I use them both.
Yeah. And I'm still exploring. I've been so, my head just is so burnt out by the end of the day that I haven't put the effort towards those things too much yet. And part of why I don't have a shop is because I really have to focus on one project at a time.
Yeah.
And so the fact that those books are still there, it exhausts my mind to try to move on before that's done. But I don't always have the mental space to work on that either. So, I mean, realistically, we're doing good. It's been a month. We both made from just the side hustles around, I mean, you've made almost $200. I made around $100 from, not including plasma. And that's really good for month one, just as side hustles. You still have school. You are homeschooling. I don't have work, but I'm not really putting into this as much as I could if I was doing like a regular job or something. That's probably about as much effort as I'm putting into it.
I feel like I could put more effort into it, like into some things. Like the last 2 weeks, I really could have put more effort into surveys. I just didn't because of personal things going on that I'll probably talk about in a little bit. But like, that was my thing, was just, I could have done more, but I didn't.
Same. Let's go ahead and move into, well, actually, the only other thing I wanted to touch base on our like money making side hustle beginning of the podcast is that we did use Zoom for our last recording session.
Yes.
I thought it went fine. It's a decent recording platform for free.
Yes.
Editing was super simple. Mm-hmm. The only real caveat to the free Zoom for me was that it cuts off.
Yeah, after 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that really wasn't a huge, huge deal. It's kind of nice to have that break and gave us like a little good time management to switch our focus and everything. Don't hate Zoom. Zoom is definitely better than Skype. I think Skype's just outdated and kind of heading out the door.
I didn't like Skype at all. Honestly, the only couple of things I liked about Zoom was the break in between, because you're right, we used it to our advantage and took like, you know, bathroom breaks or got ourselves, you know, resituated and stuff like that. So that was nice for us. So we could accommodate ourselves, and then editing was nice, but mm-hmm. Riverside is the tits.
Yeah. So far this episode, we're trying the Riverside app, venturing into the more podcast oriented ones. And this is free for us to use right now. There are paid programs. I think it has to do with how much storage space and how much access to their abilities you have. It does appear we will be able to edit it through this mm-hmm. app, which is actually something I didn't see mentioned by anyone, that Riverside, you can just edit it too in there.
I didn't either, and I'm wondering if that's because it's more difficult to edit in, or if it, like, does that make sense? Like, it could still be easier to edit in CapCut.
That's true. So we're going to go ahead. We're actually going to do a switch with our editing. I have been doing the podcast shows and putting them on YouTube, and Carrie has been in charge of the social media. We're going to do a switch this week where she's going to do the major edit. And so we'll kind of see and get some different perspectives on that. I finally got the CapCut down, and we've kind of figured out different things that work for us. So mm-hmm. we do have moments that are edited out of the podcast. We don't do it a lot, but we have a code word that we say so that when we edit, we can do transcription-based editing and just look for that word and then cut around those words to make it more seamless for us. Yeah, so hopefully this has something like that as well.
Yeah, it's been pretty easy. I think we've been doing a really good job with the editing. I mean, especially for just starting this a month ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, our editing skills are great. you're better at social media than I am. I don't have the eye for it. Even when I'm on my personal account, I'm like, I don't know what to post at all. Like, I could just
I've been posting there for longer, and I have a different attention span, so I try to think of the things that would grab me. And I'm not perfect at it either. We don't have anything going like viral or anything like that. It's just trying to get any engagement at all in this point. And that's really where majority of my time went those first couple weeks, few weeks, is editing, getting to know the editing software, trying different editing softwares and things like that. So we've made $0 from this podcast, and it has been what we have put the most effort into. What the fuck was that? random thumbs up head thought just appeared on Carrie's screen for no reason.
Wow.
Okay, cool. I guess you agree with me completely.
I guess my shoulder was just like thought bubble. Fuck yeah, Tanya. That was so weird.
So there's that with Riverside, whatever that was.
Wow.
But otherwise, I think we can. I know, Carrie, you had a really, honestly, tits of a week. Like,
I know.
For medical personal, it's been fantastic for you.
It has, minus therapy getting canceled today, but that's okay because I kind of, the only thing I wanted to do was update her and then be like, okay, bye. But yeah, so on Monday I had an appointment with with an EDS specialist and got evaluated for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and got diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome along with dysautonomia and suspected mast cell activation syndrome. And then she spent like an hour talking to me about the syndromes that I have and what to do about it. And then we got set up with physical therapy and I have an AFO fitting or braces fitting all next week.
What are you getting braces on?
What am I not getting braces on, girl? I have to get braces for my feet and ankles, my knees, my hip, at least my right hip. My left hip isn't that bad, but I'll probably get it for both. My shoulder for sure, because my shoulder dislocates on command.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so funny because she was like, do you have any joints that dislocate? And I was like, yes. Click. And she was like, okay, you can stop that. I can hear it. And I was like, okay. Just so you know. Yeah, it was a fun little party trick. So I'm getting braces. And she said that I could try like KT tape to tape my joints and stuff. But she didn't advise it because my skin is so fragile because of the EDS that she said it'll most likely just rip my skin off. So not gonna try KT tape, but we'll see. I'm supposed to get
you could try my new manifesting method and manifest that it you'll be fine. Your skin's not that bad, just manifest.
Girl, I thought that, but whenever I got my dressing taken off yesterday, so I got my stimulator, my nerve implant stimulator on Friday. I got the test. Okay. The test went good, except for my pain. And then they took the dressing off and took everything out yesterday. And she was like, oh, your skin looks great. There's no rash. And I was like, okay, good. Went home, minding my business. My back is itching, right? And so I like look in the mirror, rash all over. Like,
absolutely.
I spent the rest of the day putting Benadryl cream on my back because the adhesive just messed it up. It was great. It's horrible.
But the stimulator did good?
Yes. So the stimulator worked fantastic. I had like a 90% change in my symptoms over the week.
That's amazing though.
Yeah. It's really good. The only thing that I had trouble with was that my body reacted to having surgery. So I was in an immense amount of pain that I shouldn't have been in, but we didn't know. So
but it is what it is. On the flip side, like you figured out how to treat that pain now, because you, I feel like you were telling me that the, since she diagnosed you with the MACAs, the mast cell activation syndrome, that you had read antihistamines before surgery to help prevent a reaction. And so you took the antihistamines after, and it did help.
Yes, it did. So I was looking at protocols for MCAS. It was on the Ehlers-Danlos Society website. For anybody that's interested, there's a whole link of resources that they have. And one of the articles was mast cell activation with surgery. And the protocol is to take antihistamines and steroids before surgery so that you don't react to being cut open. And I obviously didn't have steroids, but I had antihistamines. So I was like, bloop. And it went well. It worked. I mean, I wasn't in pain for like an entire day because of that. So
yeah. And that's like so amazing. I'm just like, I'm so happy, because that was one of the things we said this year before we started all this, before we started the podcast, was that we are going to get our medical shit figured the fuck out as to what's going on. And so like, those are two huge things as to what's going on. And then you were sharing with me like links between that and FND and things like that too.
Oh my gosh, yes. I found another medical article, which we can also link to this episode so that y'all can see that it's not just hoity-toity misinformation. But I was diagnosed with functional neurological disorder a couple years ago. And so I was looking up some of my symptoms that have been previously associated with me having functional or neurological disorder. The main symptom that I was wondering about was dystonia, because I get dystonic episodes where my hands kind of curl up, or my toes curl, twist and stuff, my feet curl in and stuff like that. And so I was just seeing if there was any sort of link between dystonia and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And this medical article came up that was like functional neurological disorder and EDS. And I was like, click. And so I'm reading it, and it's all of these patients, like there's this study done on all of these patients that were diagnosed with functional neurological disorder, came into this neurologist's office, he reevaluated them, diagnosed them with EDS, and then provided peripheral nerve stimulation, and their FND went away.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So do you have like people you can go to, or is it something we have to look into?
I'm gonna have to look into it, because peripheral nerve stimulation is another implant in my back.
So you'll just be walking around with all these little implants, and be like, and that's braces. My nerve stimulator. Yeah. That's for my bladder. I just need some stimulation.
Yeah. So I just need my nerves stimulated, because they suck. But so I don't know. I'm going to talk to the specialist in like 3 to 4 weeks when I see them again. Okay. After I have to do a genetics test to make sure that I don't have a dangerous type of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, because there's 14 different types. And then once that's cleared, I'm going to talk to her about that article and see what she thinks.
I think that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, and there's no way, since she's like a specialist in it, that she hasn't seen it at some point either. I did go ahead, and I think we should definitely link her website on the YouTube channel for anybody who's interested. And on some kind of website. We really haven't even built out our website. The closest thing we have to a website is on Podbean right now. We have like a webpage.
I just had to build myself a website for an English final, so I can just do that for us.
Yeah.
Then we just have to buy the domain. That's it. And so I can do that today. I just need to write it down, because I need something to do besides editing. Like, editing is fun. I like editing, but like after you're done, you're like, okay, now what do I do? You're done. So.
Well, and so my headspace is in, I can't seem to get my head out of the burned out headspace. Like, even from this morning I got up around 8:30 or 9, and I didn't do a ton. I did the dishes. I went for a walk. placed my grocery order, went and ran to the chiropractor, made one or two TikToks. I think I made two just to have them, or made sure they were getting out there.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's
came
a lot.
Back to do this. And by this, it's 1 o'clock. I unloaded my groceries. I looked at my kitchen. I never finished putting away my dishes. I didn't finish putting away my dishes until after my groceries were put away. And I was like, I forced myself. Like, my head was already in the, like, it gets like floaty and disoriented when I get to this point. And I was like, I have to put these dishes away so that after this podcast, I don't have to think anymore.
Totally.
I just get so exhausted just from doing a couple few things. My head is tired.
Yeah.
And so that's also been my struggle with, like, the surveys and stuff, because using that much effort to think for the 30 minutes sometimes that those surveys take, then I'm just done and I don't want to look at them anymore.
Yeah, the surveys really do take a lot out of you. After, like, two, I'm done. Mm-hmm. It's just so redundant.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the games. Oh, that's the other thing we wanted to do probably later this month. Yeah, starting a Twitch.
Oh, yes, I'm excited. I want to do that tomorrow.
okay.
So excited. Like, that's how excited I am, is what I mean. It's like, I'm just like, yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like, I think a lot of our, like, what's taking so long is just me. And because, like, I'm still so burnt out. And I'm trying really hard, but I keep having to reset those damn limits and being like, no, you have to stop now.
Yeah, but that's totally fine. I said, oh, yeah, but I didn't mean it, like, in a bad way. But, I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're fucking lazy piece of shit.
I know. Oh, yeah, you're the problem, Tanya. No, it's not like that. Like, we are waiting. Right. We are waiting because of you, but it's because we don't. Neither of us want you to be burned out from this. Like, yeah. I think both of us realize that what we're doing is, like, we're enjoying what we're doing. And so we want to keep it going as long as possible. And even though I'm excited, if we were to rush that, the only thing that's going to happen is we're not going to get podcast episodes done. We're not going to get anything done because we're going to be burned out.
Yeah. And it's going to be both of us too.
Yeah.
Because you get excited and you have, every once in a while, mine are just a little, everything's just still a little more frequent right now. But it's a matter of, like, organization in my head too. I've been trying to write things down in books and trying to make lists, and then I have trouble making the list because I also don't know when is going to be the most appropriate time. And am I going to want to do that, or is it going to be too hard? And so I try to make just, like, weekly goals. And each morning when I get up, like today, I was like, okay, we're probably not going to do too much. Tonight, my goal is to edit and get some more TikToks ready. That's it. After this podcast, like, that's it. I'm just trying really hard to limit those, and I don't plan on doing those until 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. Like, after this, I know I'm going to need some time to decompress and rest. But you know what? I don't know what to do to decompress and rest.
Yeah, while you're doing it. I think that's one of the reasons I started crocheting, because it gives me something to do with my hands. And then I feel like I can listen to my audio. It feels like I'm doing something. So maybe you should take up crocheting with me.
So I have taken up crocheting. I have a basket. I've started trying it. But like, my head is in the mental space of when you're starting new things like crocheting. Crocheting is not that easy to just start, because it takes a lot of mental thought. There's a lot of counting. You have to follow the patterns. You have to know the patterns. You have to learn the patterns. And that's where I'm having trouble getting into crocheting. And I even have trouble, like, I put on my comfort shows. Mm-hmm. Nope. I can't even focus and take comfort in the comfort shows. I feel like I should be doing something else. And then I end up spending a lot of time doom scrolling social media. And I do notice I feel more burnt out on the days where the day before I spent several hours doom scrolling. So really trying to avoid that, but it seems to be one of the few things that can catch and hold my attention. And I think it's because, especially TikTok, it gives you a physical something to do as well as engaging your eyes and your ears. So it's really just full immersion and engagement.
Yeah, it is. I agree. That's why it's really funny because ever since I started posting on TikTok and treating it more like a job than a pastime, like doom scrolling, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be on TikTok. Like, I don't want to be scrolling on TikTok. I got on this morning to watch the Eras tour in Singapore, and that was it. I did it. And my FYP is completely messed up because I'm following, you know, because I'm getting a bunch of followers. So it's just, I just don't like it anymore. I'm like, eh. Which is great for me. Well, and
I think the algorithm, I read that the algorithm was changing as well. Mm-hmm. I know that we had been doing some of the like follow trains to try to gain some followers. And I think that like, I also was like, I don't love this FYP anymore. So I'm not going to do that. I think I want the natural things. I think that it's screwing up everything because it's also going to screw up the engagement of the people who actually want to engage with your content.
Oh yeah. I noticed that a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop. I was going to talk to you actually about, let's stop doing follow me, I'll follow you back, and just be more follow us if you're interested in this. Oh, yeah. And I'll follow you if I'm actually interested in your shit, because it's all messed up right now.
Yeah, I stopped doing that on our podcast TikTok. Yeah. On our podcasting TikTok, I haven't done it because I didn't want, because I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't want this. On my other one, people are just like, this week I really just started gaining a lot of followers that weren't from follow trains, that like, I don't know why they just started.
Yeah, because you'll like naturally get regular followers. Like if your content is hashtagged and everything, you're going to get some followers.
Oh,
and so that's why weird. I've kind of just been like, well,
yeah.
Yeah, it is weird.
I just don't like TikTok anymore.
Anyways. That's really funny. I'm not good at Instagram. I'm trying to do Instagram too, and I'm just not good at it.
I'm not good at it either.
It's changed so much. Everything's changed so much.
I feel so old. That's what I was about to say. Like, I feel so old.
I keep seeing TikToks about like, where are the women in their 30s? Like, what are they doing? Why can't I see more TikToks from them? And I'm sitting here thinking,
right here,
we're not seeing women in their 30s because we don't know how to use social media. It's like new to us, so we don't use it and make it look as aesthetic as Gen Z, who's coming in and that's all they've known in their whole life. And we're like, la la la, let me add a dog face. Like when we were in their age, it was just put a dog face filter on it and you're good. Mm-hmm. Like, so we don't know what these, we don't know how. We're making content, but it just doesn't look as aesthetic and it's not out there as much because we are not the same.
I know. I mean, I feel like at this point, one thing I did agree with some of the follow train content was, why are all of these smaller platforms giving larger platforms the likes and the follows when you know that there's micro influencers that could use that engagement and that you genuinely like, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Why are we giving these millions, you know, likes? But at the same time, people don't engage with your content unless it looks professional as fuck. Like, unless you're in a studio making TikToks with the background and the professional lighting, I mean, people don't engage with your content.
Exactly. And that's why we're not seeing people in their 30s, because we have jobs, we have lives, we have all this other shit. We don't have time to learn a new skill and enhance it.
Yeah.
So if you want to see people in your 30s, you're going to get not as good audio and not as good visual. And it'll improve if you start following and can find them. But it's hard.
It is.
I think.
What were you going to say?
Oh, you go. It's okay. You go.
Okay.
So, I was going to say, oh, you go. We're really bad at this.
You go first.
I was going to say, I don't know that I really had any other personal things. Oh, you know what? The only other personal thing that I had been updating is last week I had the interviews. Mm-hmm. I job shadowed on Friday, and that I'm interested in the full-time position. It seems really great. It's a great team. Everybody's super happy to be on it. And I believe that I'll find out tomorrow. I was told they wanted to make a decision by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The part-time one, I haven't heard anything back yet. Either way. And it's so hard. I'm trying. That's part of my stress this week. And part, mm-hmm. I think, of that mental load of why I'm getting absolutely exhausted this week is because I'm checking my emails. Like, are they sending me a schedule for another interview? Are they telling me I'm out? Like, what's happening? And there's just no updates. I had reached out to the part-time job on Friday. The person I reached out to was out of office, and I never got an email back. And I don't want to be the crazy person, if they're not interested in not moving forward, to like be like, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hello.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know they're interviewing with other people, and somebody had been out sick, like, probably all of last week. That main person was out sick all of last week. So they probably have been moving interviews to this week. I know when they interviewed me, one of the things that they said was, oh yeah, you're the one that we had to move twice. So that's why I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm very nervous. I want the part-time one. If the full-time one is coming up, though, I will 100% accept it.
That sounds good. I mean, I hope you're not just accepting it just on the fact that you need money. Like, I hope you're also accepting it because it's a good opportunity. But
it is a good opportunity, and it is a good job. I really want the part-time one because it's more flexible and less hours.
Yeah. True.
That's all. Only deciding factor for me is less hours and being more flexible. That's why I want it.
Okay. Well, I hope you get the full-time job at least, or you hear back from the part-time job. Yeah. I'm hoping next week my physical therapy evaluations go well.
Okay. And so they're all, is it like a bunch of physical therapy evaluations, or is it like one evaluation of everything?
It's hopefully just one of everything. I don't know. The paperwork was kind of confusing. That's why I'm like, evaluations.
Do you have more than one appointment?
No, but it's a really, really long appointment.
Yeah, yeah. So then it's probably all-encompassing evaluation of everything.
I'm just hoping I don't faint. Like, that's what I think that's what it is. It's like, if I have a seizure or if I faint, it's going to be appointments. So maybe I'm just...
It's perfectly valid.
Yeah.
But you know, you're going into this therapy for having this issue, and this issue has things like that sometimes associated with it, especially fainting. I mean, with EDS, you see a lot of POTS, you see a lot of fainting people associated with EDS. So I also say, like, meh, I imagine it's something they'll be like, cool, we won't do that again.
Well, anyways.
Yeah, get up. Kick your face. Like, if it's a place where you're going for an EDS physical therapy evaluation, those are things that they're probably used to seeing. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
You think, but when I went to physical therapy for people that were supposed to be used to FND and I fainted, they were like, does this happen a lot? Like, they were like so concerned, and my husband was like, yeah. This is like our 60th time today.
That is weird. That wasn't that, and that wasn't a good experience for you overall, your whole FND mini journey. It didn't even turn into a full journey. It was like, you have FND and closing the program. Good luck.
Yeah. Bye. Have fun.
Yeah. One of the many medical things that just become exhausting.
Yeah, I think that's the whole, like, my whole takeaway from this experience has been I'm grateful that I finally found a doctor who can help me with my problems. But at the same time, I'm so angry right now. I'm so mad at every doctor I've ever seen in my entire life that has ever told me anything. Because
absolutely,
it's been wrong this whole time. And I have so much, like, PTSD shit from it that, you know, like, I'm mad.
That, I get it. That was my therapy, talking to my counselor yesterday. A big like breakdown crying session over just like, I don't know what, like, the medical trauma, like, should I trust myself? Should I not trust myself? Because I get mm-hmm. told I'm wrong, and I'm like, and then I'm not wrong, and it keeps happening. But it takes several years for me to figure out that I'm not wrong and be validated by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so you feel crazy for that whole time because you're being told you're wrong. And you're like, I'm not wrong. Something's wrong. That's not right. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up. It's just the gaslighting. I guess maybe they're manifesting too.
Yeah. No, they're straight up being dicks.
Well, and it's the... It is, because, you know, if somebody says that it's not right, we'll keep looking. And, you know, I get that you don't necessarily know what to look for, but just be honest and don't give me a reason that you can't prove, especially when I say that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Especially. And it does not add up.
Yeah, or like, when you say, hey, I've been treating these issues that you're calling for years and it's not getting better. And they're like, but it's still that. Like, but you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And also drink more water.
Yeah. Right? Work through the side effects. It's fine. Yeah. Your side effects are just anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried losing weight? Like...
I did. You know why? I did, because of all of my problems. And you know what? I'm just now figuring out none of them were because of weight. None of them. Not a single one of them.
Well, I had a cardiologist. I went in for my fainting. I had a cardiologist tell me to my face that he was sending me for a loop recorder. Meanwhile, he charted that he had lectured me 3 times to lose weight and I was non-compliant.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And that's so common that they're like, weight's the issue. And most of my stuff, it's never... In fact, losing weight has made things worse.
Yeah.
For most of my issues.
They have, because you weren't, like, before you had the surgery, you were having issues, but you weren't having as severe issues. I remember when you started having them, because it was after you had started losing the weight.
Yeah, because I couldn't. And I mean, I'm thankful I lost the weight. And so I figured out what a lot of those problems actually were, because we had everything under control, especially the POTS. The POTS was my biggest issue with losing weight. And I would tell anybody who knows they have POTS or is like concerned to like, don't focus on your weight at all, like ever, because it made it so I had to go down on my beta blockers. It made it so my blood pressure is lower. It's made it so that I have like a little bit poor circulation and things too. So my Raynaud's is a lot worse than it used to be. My tachycardia is a lot harder to control because I can't take as much of a beta blocker anymore. When I weighed an extra 100 and some pounds, I could take at least twice as much beta blocker. I was on 10 milligrams. I'm on 2.5 milligrams right now. Oh, wow. I had worked my way back up to 5, but with the plasma donation, I've had to go back down to 2.5. So like huge shift in my mornings, huge shift in my days, huge shift in everything. At that same time, I'm shifting through the anxiety meds because of problems with that after losing weight and not tolerating those and then not tolerating anything. Yeah, weight loss was one of the worst things. And everybody's like, yeah, but your joints feel better, don't they? No.
No,
they don't. They don't. There was no, I've noticed no improvement at all. And maybe they would be worse if I still had the weight, but I don't know that they would.
I don't know.
It really fucking hurts.
I have EDS, so I've been 150 pounds, 120 pounds. I'm 198 pounds right now. The heaviest I was 225. Didn't make a fuck. It still hurts.
Like, yeah.
It still hurts.
Everything at this point is like arthritis. Like my knee is 6 years ago were diagnosed with arthritis. That's never going to improve. Weight can help with the pain, I guess. I honestly noticed no difference whatsoever. And with the back is spinal stenosis and bulging discs. And that became worse last year. Yeah. When I was thin. So really don't have, you know, I had spondylolisthesis at 16. So it's been an ongoing problem, spinal issue in that spot. But none of it's weight related. So go figure, right?
Right.
I do have that EDS. I scheduled a consult with your person though, because of those concerns. Because of the POTS, because I have POTS, Raynaud's, I've had 5 knee surgeries, and I have all the back and spinal problems. And the back and spinal problems did not result from an injury, but started when I was 16.
Oh.
And my chiropractor was like, you're super flexible, but I'm not hyper extendable mobile. But he did recommend I get evaluated too. So I have that appointment in April with your doctor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you I'm more hypermobile on my left side than I am my right side. Like, my left side, my elbow bends over 10 degrees. My right side does not. I'm still, I still have EDS. Like, so, I mean, it's all about the scoring, because you can have some symptoms and not all the symptoms, but the overall score is what it is. So,
well, and that's the thing is there's like 13 or 14 different kinds.
Yeah, there's 14 different types, and the hypermobile type wasn't even discovered until 2019 is what she said. So,
yeah, because the hypermobile, you usually test negative genetically if you're specifically.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yes.
So that's also the thing that I'm trying to be like, oh, that's right. Because the hypermobile you see a lot of, but it's not necessarily just having those hypermobile things either. And I do have a lot of the other symptoms of dysautonomia.
Yeah. So. I mean, I have blue sclera on my eye. Oh, wow. I don't have stretchy skin on my neck, but I have it on my hands. So it's all different.
I have weight loss skin. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is weight loss skin. So I don't know.
She's going to be like, you're stretchy.
Oh.
I can tell you right now because, like, I know because when I'm skinny, I've lost weight. I've had weight loss skin. My skin does not, my neck doesn't do that.
Well, fuck. Cool. All right. Well, join us in April, and Tanya.
I know.
Evaluated.
So far, our self-care corner.
Yeah. That's fair. Last week, I did really bad at self-care corner. I don't know that I did any of the things that I mentioned. I remember talking about having the bedtimes, and I don't even remember.
I told myself I was going to sleep. I did not sleep. I actually got sick after surgery and still managed to overdo it. So this week we're going to try again. I let the guilt and shame take over.
This probably sounds horrible to people because it doesn't sound like self-care, but I plan on spending more time in bed.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not a normal like way to improve your self-care, especially with people who are in like depressional times. But I don't feel depressed. And for me, I realized I missed that aspect. I used to go in my room and turn my TV on and I lay on my belly and I have my laptop and I'd fuck around on my laptop and get shit done while just chilling in there. Mm-hmm. And I did that the other day and it was fucking amazing. It was amazing. Most comfortable I've been in forever. Like, I don't know why I haven't been doing it. So my goal is to spend more time in bed this week.
Okay, that's a good, my dog just started stretching as you said that, so he agrees.
He's ready.
Yeah, he's ready. He's already asleep. He's sleeping on my leg.
All right, well, I guess that kind of wraps up the episode for this week. Is there anything else you wanted to, I can't think of anything else.
Nope, I think we're good. Next week, we're going to start our gaming stuff. We're going to look into Twitch. We're going to have updates of those. And yeah. That's it.
Yeah, so by the time this is out, you can probably find us streaming on, you can probably find us on Twitch. Carrie's been going under the name Carrie and Co. with an ampersand, right? And then I've been Tanya Awesome. It'll be either Tanya Awesome or Tanya Awesome Life. We'll update as we get everything set up.
Yep. All right. Y'all have a good week, guys. All right.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.